Thanks everybody come here. Thanks to Ganeda give me a chance to talk here. And so the title for today's talk is filled with conjectures and L functions. Okay. The more correct title should be the application of the partial sums of the coefficient of the De Vere series, but anyway, just and they will involve the several conjectures of the L function we are concerned. So it's my apology if somebody heard those things before. First of all, I want to define this called the Silber class. Okay, so the story starts with 1989, and Silber in the conference Silber announced the big collection of all the a certain set of the De Vere series, and they give condition and they make conjectures. So this comes from definition by Silberg, and what you say is following. So so this the Silberg class basically is a set, let me say S, of the De Vere series. And satisfying five conditions. Okay, let me just try to address this one. And so let me just say if the F belongs to the Silber class, and the first condition is because the set of Dirichlet series, so that means F of S can be written as dimension n from 1 to infinity, an over n to the S. It just means Dirichlet series. And for normalizing purpose, we want the first coefficient just equal to 1. And then we want to use this absolute convergence for real power of S is greater than 1. In fact, this comes from the latter condition. And the second one is this F of S has a homeomorphic continuation, so this one is 10. To an entire function, okay, of finite order. And last part is crucial. After you have the finite order plus the function equation, in fact, this is it's just order one, and the finite order, and except a possible pole. At s equal to 1. And the third, you can see what's going on here. So next one should be the function equation. So there is some kind of the Q is some positive number, and is some kind of M belong to the positive integer such that between I between 0 and M, just in case 0 M equals 0, that means there's no this condition, and there is some alpha I. It's positive, and also some gamma I is some complex number, and we exist the real part of the gamma I is greater equal than 0. Also those all things just also there's some complex number such that it's known is equal to 1. So this is just setting for the function equation, and so we define this delta x is just equal to the q to the s and the gamma, so it's the product of I from 1 to the n. Of gamma of alpha is plus gamma I. And we define this phi of s just equal to delta s times f of s. Okay? And the function equation we expect will just equal to gamma of the phi bar of the 1 minus s bar. Okay? Of course, we know this functional equation. This delta is not unique because you have a duplicate formula. So basically, you have a lot of choice, even if you have a choice for the Q. But this friend just say, we have this kind of stuff and make these things happen. And usually that's enough. And number four, as you think about this, lead to the Riemann delta function. So next one with Euler product. So f of s can be written as the product of the P for prime, f of P to the s. And what's this local factor? And can be written exponential of the summation k from 1 to infinity and p to the kt and p to the minus k. And not just that, we have the control of some coefficients. So this pk, just take a big O of p to the k theta for the theta less than 1/2. And later on, it will be crucial for the classification theorem. And number 5, and it's kind of non-trivial, but this means it comes from Ramanujan, because Ramanujan conjecture. And basically saying, for any epsilon greater than 0, and if any coefficient, free coefficient, for this one would be big O of n to the epsilon. Of course, this constant depends on your function s, also the epsilon. Okay? So that's what the server setup is. This set is called the server class. And then we can give the quick example. And the first one is the remind data function. And definitely satisfy everything. And such one delete the L function. So the chi is a primitive character. It also satisfy everything. And then you want to generalize the whole thing. For instance, normalize L function for elliptic curve. It also satisfies it because the Tanimashi Riemann wave conjecture is proof. And furthermore, if you need a class, you know this is L function attached to the classical representation of the GLN. Of course, not quite true because we don't know Ramanujan conjecture, so modular the Ramanujan conjecture. Okay. So basically, all the L functions, because it's from Lagrange functoriality, we know that every L function can be part of, or we find we're interesting, become kind of the L function come from the GON. So basically, if we assume the Ramanujan conjecture, and this server class including all the L functions. So all our interesting L function will include a server class. So you want to study a server class, the same as you study all the L function you are interested in at once. Okay. So what we really can say about this server class? So this is some basic property. Okay. Let me just say function 0 because it's too trivial. And because it's S, really just a multiplicative monoid. And you can easily check that you have a function you can get duplicated and all the coefficients can be controlled. And second one is, the first one is we try to get some invariant for this server class. And what we can say about this one. And first of all, this is something come from the function equation, though this function equation is not unique, but we can say for the Q, it comes from the function equation, this is called the conductor. And the other thing is called the D, by definition, is the twice of the summation of alpha I from 1 to the M. It also from the function equation, this is called the degree of F. Okay? And both here are independent of the choices of the function equation. And this one you really can prove. So basically we can put this F in subscript. That means for this is a unique F there. So this is both are invariant for this server class. So some classification theorem must become classed by those things. Okay. Sorry. And how we can say the classification theorem. And it's successful for small degree in the following sense. Let me say this two. If this F belongs to the server class, if the degree of F is equal to 0, and in fact you can prove this one just a constant, and because we normalize the coefficient, so basically it's just a constant. And also, if this one is just strictly less than 1, you also can prove S must be constant. So there's some gap. So this degree cannot be random as a small one, start from 0, you have 0 there. And because this degree always is positive, because it's the sum of some positive number. And if less than, three less than between 0 and 1, there is nothing there. Okay? And if there is something exactly equal to 1, and this can prove if f either equals the zeta function or some translation for the Dirichlet error function. So this a is some real number. Okay? But beyond the degree greater than 1, so far nobody know how to really know, even don't know what's the next one or whatever. Okay. So let's so far also the a lot of the many properties, but we just stick to what we need to say here. Okay. And since this S is much more like integer, and the integer is important since it can count the decomposition theorem, and there is some prime in there, and every n element can become the product of the prime numbers. The same thing happening here, we want to introduce the same idea in the syllable class. So this comes from the definition. This F, you know, syllable class, we call the primitive. Okay? If, only if F can be written as a product, and of course this F1, F2 is going to the syllable class, then this implies F1 is completely equal to 1, or the other one is completely equal to 1. So basically like the incomplete element in the syllable class. And this easy query just from the one we have here is the every element in S can be factorized into a finite product. Of the primitive element. This is a conjecture. Yeah, so in fact, this, because there's no 0 and 1, so you can define argument. Yes, after that, it must be stopped. So, yeah, exactly. So, this proof, and just by design argument, basically, you have if f equal to the f1, f2, and the degree of f just equal to degree f1 plus degree f2. Okay, so basically you can easily check there. So it's not okay. So understanding this syllable class basically can reduce the problem in how to understand the primitive elements. Okay, that's the moral. Okay, and of course the syllable not just put everything together and state this kind of condition here, and also make the important conjecture, and that's basically implied for all the L function you are interested in. It's not quite obvious why those things are true. But still, guess that should be true. So let's come from the title of this talk. This conjecture by Thalberg. Okay. So there's two parts for this conjecture. The part A. It says that if f belongs to the Thalberg class, then there is some integer, and such that, and there's some kind of known p less than x for this finite sum of the coefficient for the ATF square divided by p. This should have a syntactic formula, the mf log log x, and it's part of big O of the 1. Okay? And so you can either check the one, this example there, like reminded that function or whatever. And the other conjecture is concerned about the primitive element is if f and g belong to the syllable class and they are primitive. And then, so this looks like known for the in the syllable class, and it's like inner product, you can define inner product form. Like this is ap of f and ag of f bar over p, and this one will be for the delta of the f and g, and then for the same log log x. Hey. Oh. AP. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. So basically, it means the primitive element should be this NF equal to 1, basically, what it says there. Okay? It looks like this condition is not just make a conjecture. In fact, it's the very interesting consequence, and certainly is a lot. So I just want to give the one look interesting to this program. And so let's just indicate how important for this one. So this is a theorem by Romerity. And basically, the conjecture, the B, can imply the Artin holomorphic conjecture. And also can imply the Lagrange reciprocity conjecture for the solvable image. So those conjectures are really not just a guess. In fact, there's very interesting things and can imply very important consequence. Okay. So now we're back to this talk. As I said in the beginning, the main talk for the main thing for this talk is to try to get some partial sum of the Fourier coefficient and study their property. So there's the name attached to this called summatory function. Okay. So let me just think don't consider something in general, just think F is in a stable class, and we define the summatory function. Usually denoted by the F SS is defined by the following way. It's just a summation for the n less than x for the Fourier coefficient. Okay. And you might ask why we need to study those stuff. And there's a very, very important property, which is this lemma. And if this f belongs to a stable class, just in case we know this summatory function, have to estimate like a big O of A to this theta, for instance. Then, the F of S, in fact, this is the summation for N from 1 to infinity, for A N to the N of to the S, or for the real part of S is greater than theta. Okay? And it looks like this is a tautology because this function defined already by this way. So the interesting case will be the theta less than 1. Okay? And in the theta less than 1, and because this derivative, we don't know whether it's absolute converge, and you cannot plug any value. And if you have the estimation for the summatory function, this certain probably say you can really do that. Okay? Provide you have the theta less than 1. Okay? So there's something, if you want to get theta less than 1, you get something non-trivial. Okay? So that's basically the very elementary version for why this summatory function is interesting. Okay, and let me just see what's happened there, and what we can, just from the definition, what we can get some estimates from there. So this is some remarks. And the first one, by this Ramanujan hypothesis, and what do you say? The coefficient just bounded to the n to the epsilon, and you sum all of them by the triviality. You know, this summatory function is bounded by the big O of x to the 1 plus epsilon for any epsilon. But this one doesn't help because we say if you have something non-trivial, you must theta less than 1. So this just tell you that something say like the 1 plus epsilon. So it really not help there. Okay, so this is by the trivial estimation. And second one is if FFS has a simple pole, like the pole at s equal to 1. And by the sort of famous Tauberian theorem, tell you the summatory function, in fact, is equal to some kappa of x plus little o of x. That's certified some condition, but in fact, you will assume the a stable conjecture and this condition satisfied. So you have this one, so this kappa just residue of that at s equal to 1. So So this breakout help, if you want to get something theta less than zero, because you get the cup of x here. Okay, so it's no hope. So if you want to get something non-trivial, it's you don't want to have a pole. Okay. So this comes from the theorem. And I'm wrong proof. So it's me and the Romer T. And use the Dutch constant integration technique, and we can get it for s belong to the summatory function. And of course, as I say, you must turn this entire, you want to get some non-trivial result. And then, and this summatory function, you can really get something like big O of x to the theta plus epsilon. And also, if you put the conductor in there, you got this one minus theta. And for what is theta here? The theta here is the degree divided by degree plus 2. Obviously, this one is less than 1. Okay? And so this breaks this trivial bound by the Ramanujan hypothesis. I also give you some non-trivial thing we can really get into this critical line here. Okay, so the proof, I don't have time to really go through, but basically just counter. Just conclude integration, and plus the Perron formula, etc. Some study, some stand up, analyze, and then number theorem technique. Okay. Pardon me? It depends on it depends on f. Yeah, but it's a. So the reason you put this all depends on independent of the x and the q, because the q is the conductor and usually you want to, so that's the purpose of the design is to you sort of the average for all the family of the some the twist or something, and that kind of the conductor will fix. So that's why I put the conductor there. Okay. Yeah, we can do the independent of the q. The reason is if we got into a single the function there, this q doesn't matter. But however, if you want to try to do the family of the double class and do some average problem, and last time, it doesn't depend on p. Didn't depend on p. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So I should say this. That's very good. It's a constant. The applied, the constant. Does not depend. On x, of course, and the q. Okay? Thank you for correcting me. Thank you. But if you use the more fancy machine like the Chernyshyn-Horan and Sihar, and basically we can do some finer computation, you can get a little bit better if f belongs to the subclass, and also as soon as the entire. And in this case, we need the extra addition condition is the degree must be greater than 2. In that case, you can get this the summatory function also equal to big O of x to the some theta prime plus epsilon to the q to the 1 minus theta prime. Again, this theta prime just equal to df minus 1 over df plus 1. And this one is strictly less than f of x. Df plus 2 of still less than 1. Okay? So we can get a little bit better on the x. However, look at the comparison here. We even gain some exponent on x. X becomes smaller, but you lost the psi on the conductor. Okay? So that's kind of the interesting phenomenon, because everybody looking for before, you just think about what happened on x. But in fact, you really count this the conductor sign in there, you find you can compensate the loss. Okay, and we really don't know how we can really break this bound into the sum of them become less than 1. That will be very interesting to know. Okay, so that's what I want to say about this summatory function. Okay, so the rest of the time I want to discuss also the partial sum of the Fourier coefficient, but in different contexts. So we come to the second part, the L function part. It depends on what kind of L function we talk about. So number three will be the bridge and Feynman conjecture. Okay, so everybody already finished this topic, and we'll know this one related to some leaf curve. Let me say the E over Q will be the leaf curve. Of course, we know that if over Q, you can write the Y transform. That means Y squared. I just take it simple. B. And AB is some integer. Okay. And the question about this, the long string question is, we want to understand its arithmetic property. Especially, you want to know what's the solution in integer. Or not in integer, but in the rational. So this, the question here is, question here. What is the solution in the integer? And because it's long time ago, one can define the addition law in here. Okay? And under this addition law, and one can prove this one is finite generated by the theorem by Mordell. And so basically you can, after you have this one, just undergraduate math question, so you can separate this one to two parts. One is the torsion part. And the other part, torsion part is canonical. However, this rank part, is free part, is not canonical. So only you can talk about is their rank. Okay? So this is just by abelian and finite generated. And in fact, it's a the interesting part is probably the good news is it's sort of well understood. By the following sense, first of all, you know how to solve it, because by the theorem of Nagel and Lutz, they say this solution must be in the integer. And also there's some process of algorithm you can really count this one. And the other question is what kind of thing can be there? And the theorem by Mather tell you only have not much choice, probably 12 or whatever. And you can write down, and every case can repeat infinite times. So this part sort of settled down. It's still interesting to really compute this one. So the only thing rest part is how to get this rank of this free part. So now problem is the question here. And what's this R here? Okay? So usually we denote this R is the rank of this E. So that's a general principle in the mathematics. We know this R contains some arithmetic information, and usually the arithmetic information is you can encode into the L function in a certain way, and that's usually what this conjecture talk about. And also, this general principle, this is a global stuff, and if we collect enough local information, we should be able to get back to there. That's also the principle in mathematics. So this leads us to discuss the solution is a finite field. So this is really not something fancy. We just consider P if you not divide by its discriminant, and definition is 16 of the Q plus 27B squared. Okay? In this case, we want to define this MP, that's the number of the solution over the finite field. So that's what I mean for collecting local data. Of course, this solution wants to come in the projected set, so usually this one plus one. And also, we want to dig out the Fourier coefficient, and that's where you define the Fourier coefficient here. And by the theorem of Hassel, you know this AP is bound by the two root of the P. Okay? And for the more fancy language, you know this one AP can be written as alpha P plus beta P, and basically this one is come from the eigenvalue for Frobenius. And if you don't like this one, you can just think about alpha P and the beta is just satisfy these two conditions. And you can solve this one, you can get alpha P and the beta P. Okay, and by this hustle, you can just really get this was the link proof, and this one is exactly the Ramanujan conjecture. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I think I'm normalizing this. That usually happen in the Selber class, but now here we need to square root C. A hacker. Eichler. Okay. But the link will be more general. That's fine. Okay, and so then we can define. I really not define, I just cheating. So this is the L function. And this product, like Euler, like the, we have the, it's a P, first of all, not divided by this discriminant. And it's 1 minus AP, so P is minus S plus P, from P to negative 2S. And of course, this is for the unramified place. And for the ramified place, and there's something we don't know. So it's just E to PS, some polynomial. So it has some nice property. Okay. And so this is time this whole thing. And we just make definition because later on, we only use this, this one for this partial L function. So I just define this one by this partial one. Okay. So how this one link to the problem we posed here? Then this bridge and the swine diner, they come in. So this conjecture, let me say this, we should, I just say, you know, the conjecture one by the bridge and the swine diner. And in their first paper, I'll call notes in, notes on the Liebig curve in 1963. And they make the conjecture, say, I want to see what happened for this, this product, this Euler product, so MP over P. This MP is come from the counting, is local information. And we just time together, and they found out, they do some numerical calculation. They found this one can be asymptotic to some R. Okay? And in fact, they said, I guess this R should be called the rank of the E. Okay? And later on, 2 years later, and they proposed the other conjecture. And also by the Niner. And named by the note on the Liebig curve number 2. And it's 1965. That's probably the, now they know about the Springer-Swinburne conjecture. What they say is, this entire L function is entire. And furthermore, and you want to dig out the information about rank, and as usual, this rank of E just equal to order of the L of S, S equal to 1. Okay? Also, just to point out, and I make mistake of here. So the something you need to notice is that the critical line here is S equal to 1 instead of S equal to 1 half. Okay. Usually, after you look at stable class, and this refreshing 0 and 1, but in this case, in the Liebig curve, it got 0 and 2. So, the critical line will be S equal to 1. So, that's why it takes the value in the middle. Okay. Okay. So that's probably this one is most people familiar with here. And what's the relation between these two? Probably because the first one, everybody just forget about it, and, I don't know whether Goldfield is the first one to dig into the relation, but he didn't write a paper. And what I say is a theorem, a Goldfield. And what you say is, okay, if you have a conjecture one, you can imply a conjecture two. And, in fact, you can, as a byproduct, you can get a Riemann hypothesis. Okay? So in fact, this condition looks like the, just like some basic number calculation. You can imply really powerful stuff. Okay? And I cannot run through all the proof. I just gave you the hard idea and how this partial sum evolving here. The idea of the proof and just indicate why this one links to my talk. Okay? Let me just give definition for this product EX and equal to this, the finite product P, X, the P less than X. Yeah, the Riemann hypothesis certainly is. We talk about generalized hypothesis on this L function. I hope everybody already assumed that part. Okay. Now you might have hypothesis for the data function, I believe. Okay. So this is the Euler product. And really easy, just use this relation. I just wrote there and take the factorization And you can get this one is NP less than X, 1 minus alpha P over P, and 1 minus beta P over P. It's an easy exercise. And then you take a look. And take a log of them. I think you might need to go negative in order to get some part. And then you can take the log on the every side and use the tail expansion and sum all of them. So you got the dimension for the p, like p less than x, and the other dimension for k from the 1 to infinity. And then it takes some power like this of the k of the p to dk. Fair enough? Okay, so this is the elementary Taylor series application. And then, it seems to look like this. It's reasonable to take this one as some abbreviation. So, and define, and there's something called the Cn, just equal this guy. For this p, now divided by this one, and n equal to the p to the k, and of course zero otherwise. So this one really becomes something like this. After you have this definition, and it's just the summation for p less than x, summation k from the 1 to infinity, and c to the dk. That's make it easy. Okay? So how this one relative to our L function? Because this one, look at this conjecture, basically this is a finite product something, and this is something about L function. So must be some link between them. In fact, let's also use the identity. So, in fact, you can, if we look at the log LE tilde of the x plus 1, in fact, this one, if you like, you can just write down, it's like a p, and as I mentioned, for the k from 1 to infinity, and alpha p to the k plus beta p to the k of the p to the k for the x plus 1. Also, if you just basic exercise, you can, this linear curve, this L function, probably put here. And this every factor you can factorize, and then after factorize look like this, and take a log, and you got this one. Okay? So in fact, this one just equal to what? The summation, n less, summation for n from the 1 to infinity, and cn of n to the s. So the application, the coefficient appear here. In fact, that's the Fourier coefficient of a log of the partial function, x plus 1. So that's the link between them. And if you like, you can define this capital Cx just equal to the like summatory function, the Cn. And you can rewrite this one, becomes our integration form. So that's what I say. This one, this partial summation function is important because now you can write this L function in terms of this. Okay? And then this one is awfully close to the summatory function. In fact, it's just basically the lemma and pretty easy to get. It's this Cx. It's Cx for the asymptotic to the log of the PEX. Not quite really asymptotic, but you can get this one. Or more precisely what I want to say is the assume the conjecture one, you can imply your CX equals log R of log X plus on the other constant A plus little of one. In fact, this is equivalent. You can easily prove that. So let's link in between these two. As long as you have this, assume the conjecture one, that means only assume this asymptotic part, not about this rank conjecture. But as long as you have the asymptotic formula, and this is the equivalent. And there's something on this higher power of the P, but it can be controlled by ranking server method. Okay. And before I finish this digression about this proof, I just tell you how this one can imply the Riemann hypothesis. So look at this estimation here. And so this log x, is log of the L tilde of the E of x plus 1. In fact, you can plug in, if you assume the conjecture 1, you can just plug in this estimation here. And the negative R log log x plus on A plus the of the 1 from x to the x plus 1 dx. And this one, in fact, is holomorphic for the real part of x greater than 0. Yeah, because there's some positive power, just a little bit, enough to build this or the whole thing on top. And this certainly implies this log of the ES without a shift is holomorphic for the real part of S is greater than 1. Remember, I mentioned here this critical line is S equal to 1. And if this guy is holomorphic greater than S equal to 1, this directly implies the LEX is holomorphic. In fact, it has no zero and the pole for the real part of S greater than 1. That's exactly what Riemann hypothesis. Okay? So, in fact, as long as you have such estimation, why we even don't need the log x, something little bit smaller x or something, and you definitely take a log or some, and then you can really get the result like this. So this is really a very strong conjecture one. Okay, so now I want to say is how we can say about this CX, whether we can prove this, whether this kind of asymptotic formula is true. Okay, so that's my goal. So it's to the power 4 and just little o. Let me see what we have so far. So we know this conjecture 1 basically equivalent to some asymptotic formula for the summatory function. And however, this summatory function, this CX, really not the one we are familiar with, because this is the coefficient for the shift L function. Okay? So give a definition. Let me say C2 dot X. By definition, just Cn times n. So by definition, just alpha p to the k plus beta p to the k over k. And of course, this is p not divided by this one, n equal to p to the k, and zero otherwise. And there's something similar to that, and this one is close to relative to the partial function, but not just shift, but it's just the L function. And this one just equals summation for the cn tilde n to the s, and from 1 to infinity. That's the frequency for this one. And then we can, the similar thing, we can define the summatory function. Okay. And why this one is more familiar with what we know. In fact, this, let me put it more back here. So in fact, this C2 dot X is asymptotic to the other one. And if you just sum over, by definition, you just sum over the P less than X and C2 dot X. Okay? Because also you can control the higher power for the P in a certain way. Not completely equal, but you can control in a certain way. And what this one is? And Cn2 dot, if just, it's just this one, just P, and you plug in P here, that means K equals 1. So this one just equals summation p less than x alpha p plus beta p. It just equals summation p less than x for a p. So we're back to the original business for the Fourier coefficient for L function. So that's why this one is what we're more familiar with, because this asymptotic stuff. And also the other interesting thing is this c bar x behave like the remainder term. remain the trends of in the prime number theory. Okay? So remember the term of the prime number theory basically tell you relative to the distribution with zeros. So the same thing happened here. So what, so more precise, let me say this phi of x by definition just come from the and less than x is log, so it's p. So regular this one, and we know this one having a sum to the x and the plus some remainder term. So this is the remainder term I talk about. Okay? And in the classical, we can say something about this one, and then probably use the same method. Theoretically, we can get this one with the same thing. Okay? And before I tell you what's this thing here, I want to tell you how this conjecture one can give you the behavior estimation for this one. So this is basically the lemma. The conjecture one implies this C2 by X, and therefore this C by X is little of X. So that's our title. Okay, so this, now I can give the proof. Really not hard. Because this is just a CFX, and we know the CX, the relation between CX and the C by X just a time N. So, this is C2 by X. Just equals dimension CN times N, and less than X. And this one, just, you want to use the integration notation, it's just to X, and the T of DCT. The Riemann's digit integration. And use the partial summation, you can pull out these things, the x, cx, and the minus, take the derivative, negative to x, ct of dt. Now you can plug in this asymptotic formula, it's get your x of the negative gamma log x plus a, plus little of the 1, and this one just x of the same thing. So this should be T. And after calculation, you can see this one is canceled. And this one not really quite canceled, but the remainder term will be little of x. You can use the proof this one is little of x. So write down. Okay? So this is a trivial computation. And usually we lose a lot of information from this computation. The reason because you blow up n. And you do this kind of things. And for instance, what you have is little of x, but here you have a syntactic formula. So basically, you just must lose something. Okay? So basically, they tell you the implication for this conjecture 1, for this C2 dx. Now we can say about something here. So in classically, so what's this relation between this one? In fact, this Cx, this one is sort of the same as the R of x, because now you shift this one, because it's the symmetric line, this one is 1/2, but this x, so you need to compensate by this one, but this one has the log p, so you take out this weight. So basically, that's the correspondence you might get. So let me say what happened, we know about this one. So this is R of x, and the left one will be the C bar f, which is just, I think, that gives the R of x times the x to 1/2 divided by log x. Okay? If you assume the Riemann hypothesis, and one can show that this is equal to big O of x to 1/2 and log x squared. Yeah, classical Euler function. So that's all I think is classical. But here, theoretically, we should be able to use the same technique. So here, let's use the translation table. What you get is x and log x. And then if you even you take the stronger conjecture, like the paracorrelation conjecture, then you can get a little bit better, 2/3 x, and after this transportation table, what we get will be the 1/2 of x. Okay? So even you do these two conjectures, only you get this one. And the conjecture tell you this one should be smaller. So we really don't know how we can put this one. However, if you assume the linear independence of the zeros, and Montgomery gives some heuristic argument, tell you that this one should be equal to the big O of the x 1 half and triple log x squared. Okay? And let's call this random mixture confounded. They take the random zero and then do the calculation. And then if here, then this is big O of the x and log x squared x divided by log x. But this one indeed is little of x. Okay? So if we assume this one, so it will fit in our explanation. Expectation, because this one is little of x, but we still don't know whether this just tell you it should be like this, but whether this one can imply it, we don't know. However, you think that if you want to disprove it, that means if you want this one, it's because this one implies it's a little of x, you want to disprove it, that means you want to make a big O of x, omega of x. For this one, then you have an unconditional theorem by Romerity and use the method of Littlewood, and they can prove this one equal to the log x. Okay? And then translate here is omega of x log x divided by log x. But still not quite enough because this one is still little of x. You cannot show this one because this one is smaller x. Okay, so you cannot really not push up. So really, for you want to go to from this side and go to the other side, you cannot reach this one in the middle. However, this is just a conclusion, just a consequence of this one, for this conjecture one. Amazingly, we can prove the conversely. So that's in Murti. And the same time by Keith Conrad. And probably the same time. And we prove the same thing is if the C2 dot of x is O of x, imply the conjecture one. And a little bit misleading here, this conjecture one just means asymptotic part, not about rank part. Okay? The rank part should be induced I think you need to raise to the originality property for the L function, so we still don't know. So in fact, this is equivalent, so that becomes the theorem. Okay. Okay. So I really don't have time to discuss the proof, but basically the proof is you need to use the proof. I don't want to mention too much, but basically use the theorem of the Reeds. Whatever. The Reeds, and I think 1910 or something, very old theorem, and basically tell you have some little O of X, you can get some asymptotic equation for the top side. That's what the region talk about. Okay, so really don't lose anything for there. Okay. And so I have the 5 minutes, and so we already gave the two of the application for the summatory function. So I want to give you the one more in a quick way. So number five is subtlety. Okay. I really don't have time to say much, but what they say is we know this AP is less than 2 of square root of P of the solid case concern about the Lilliev curve. And then you can write the AP become the 2 of the root P of some cosine of the theta P. Okay? Of course, because it's something less than 1, you always can do that. Okay, so the subtlety conjecture basically says this theta p is distributed respect to some certain measure. So let me write precisely if you have the p less than x and then the theta p between the alpha and the beta, and this number should be asymptotic to the integration alpha to beta and 2 over pi for some phi squared theta d theta. And of course, my time the pi of x. So this really, and of course, this I cheat a little bit, this E should be non-CM. Non-CM type. Okay? And it's the old Hologram program tell you if you have the symmetric power a certain way, you can really prove that in the by theorem, and also the Kumar-Murti tell you can remove the non-zero condition on the s equal to 1. So basically you have a symmetric power, you have this theorem. Okay, so, but there's still some question there. is how about this always talk about here is it's central case trivial. What happened is central case not trivial. And the Henry asked the question about in the class and Ron tried to do a little bit there. And the theorem I can tell you is really is following, but it's really not encouraging. But this is a theorem. I mean, and Murty. It says if F is the it's a holomorphic classical form, classical of the Napping type. Let me say that omega is non-trivial, okay? And also we want this non-CM case. Actually not the critical field, not the invariant under some twist of the character. Then assume the Ramanujan conjecture. Conjecture, and then you can get the same thing because Ramanujan basically tell you have some eigenvalue and alpha p beta p and alpha p is known, and so you have the angle. And assume this one, you can prove that F is not it's theta p. It's not distribute respect to the subtotate. This subtotate major. We have now an auto holomorphic form. Right. That's right. Yeah, we only assume the it's the electric we without any condition we know because then the non zero case basically tell you the square is trivial. So basically you can prove this is not used it's not usually based on how take on the major less means by this one. A certain constant. Okay. So that's the theorem we really can prove in this case. And also this technique evolved again like the summatory function for the Fourier coefficient. And the equivalent the statement for this one is some finite some moment of this summatory function, and then you can get some kind of result like this. So that's the other application for the summatory function. Okay, that's all for today.